Chapter 7, Chaos in the Spirit of Order. In the moment Joliot arrived back at school, he wanted to lock himself in his room and be left alone. He had cried the whole train ride and would have loved to jump off the train during the trip to run back to Emmerich. But it was true, the friends had to endure this pain for a while. There was still quite a while of school ahead of the young fox, and somehow he had to manage to be patient. Sometime in between there was the possibility to see the wolf again. While he turned back to his book Time Fox in his room, he heard some other students coming back in the hallway. He could perceive a lot of laughter and was sure that they had all spent a nice weekend. Then it occurred to him, hadn't the previous evening been nice for him, too? Actually, he couldn't complain at all. That gave him new courage. He sighed and left the room to go for a walk around the school grounds. Once outside, Eurimia came to meet him and called out, "Joliot. Hey, how are you?" "Oh, it's going okay," he sighed. "What's the matter? Didn't you have a good weekend? You went to Emmerich, didn't you?" "Yeah, but now I'm back here, unfortunately, you know." Eurimia grinned, "Ah, now I know what's going on." "Oh, and what?" asked Joliot. "Well, you would have loved to stay with him much longer because this weekend was more than just nice, right?" "Yes, that's right," the male dog confirmed sadly, and his companion took him tenderly in her arms. "I'm sure you'll see him again soon," she whispered, and Kako nodded. "Eurimia? Honey?" Someone shouted, and Kako Daz saw Chucky coming towards the two of them while the vixen finished the hug. Josiah greeted Joliot and asked if Eurimia didn't want to have dinner with him, Josiah, today. "Honey?" asked Joliot in amazement, looking at his two classmates. Then the other male put his arm around the vixen and said joyfully, "Yes, she came to see me this weekend and we're together now." "I hope you're not sad about it, Joliot," Eurimia said questioningly, and Kako shook his head, "No, that's great. I'm happy for you. But I'd better leave you alone now. I have a lot to think about. I'll see you guys later, maybe. See you then." The newly in love couple kissed and Kako Daz turned and left. Eurimia called after him, "Thank you, Joliot." And he just raised a hand and waved slightly without looking back. "He's really nice. But still very young," said the vixen to her friend, who nodded thoughtfully. Joliot realized for himself that Eurimia had probably found someone to play with again. Carteron was right in everything he had said. Eurimia loved to use males, and Joliot, who was into the same sex after all, fell in love with Emmerich. It was all very confusing, and the fox wanted to sit down in the common room to ponder. He noticed that a screen had been set up there. The furniture had all been moved aside and numerous chairs were lined up in front of the unit. A couple of foxes connected cables to the screen and brought large speakers into position. Then Kako Daz spotted his teacher talking to another Aramaran, went to him and asked, "Rado, what are you doing here? It's not until tomorrow that we have another class." "Hello, Joliot. Yes, there is an important announcement from the leader's quarter. We have been urged to make it possible for our students to watch the live broadcast. Not all of them will be back yet, but those who are here should watch. The great, great leader wants everyone to see this," Rado quickly explained and ran off again. "The cable doesn't belong in there. The chairs still have to go," he shouted and seemed very stressed. Some foxes were running around as if they were either on the run, or just very excited. After all, the leader obviously wanted a live shot, so he was going to get it. Suspecting that the common room would surely soon become very crowded, Joliot sat down on a conveniently placed chair and watched the foxes as they stressed and completed the final preparations. Then an announcement was made over loudspeakers distributed throughout the building and school grounds, "To all students of our institution. To all faculty and school staff. We are about to receive a live broadcast from our leader. Everyone is urged to take your seats in the common room. Anyone arriving late will not be allowed in the room. Please hurry." "Oh, this is going to be a big one," Joliot said aloud to himself and looked around, sitting down. The room filled up steadily, more and more students sat down on the chairs and talked wildly. When everyone was seated and there was still a lot of chatter, an older fox stood in front of the screen and kept shouting, "Silence please. I ask for silence." But no one really seemed to listen to the old man, who had to be the school principal. Rada went forward and took his place. He shouted loudly, "Quiet, you bastards!" Sudden silence set in and apparently no one dared to make even a sound. Rado sighed and then said, "So people. I hope everyone is here. No one from the college is missing. Everyone else can watch the announcement from home. I'm going to turn on the machine now. Lights out, please." Immediately the light was extinguished and as Joliad looked around, he noticed Eurimia and Josiah sitting a few rows behind him. The vixen looked over and waved with a smile. Kakodaz nodded curtly and turned back around. At first, only Electron could be seen on the screen, standing in front of several large Aramaria flags. The leader himself was not yet visible, whereupon some students became impatient and started chattering again, which Rado of course did not like at all. "Silence. Otherwise, I'll hit you in the mouth." He shouted again from somewhere and it became quiet again. The leader promptly appeared in the picture as he stood behind the lectern and looked seriously into the camera for several seconds. He said absolutely nothing and it seemed as if his gaze pierced the crowd. Full of expectation, many foxes in the school audience opened their muzzles and were now completely silent. "Good evening, my children," sounded from the loudspeakers and Radovan looked thoughtful. He was tense, but not nervous or excited. His deep, penetrating voice began a statement that would change the lives of all Aramarans forever, even if they could not be aware of it. "As you all know, Samoydans live on our eastern border in Greater Chutpri. At the time, my predecessor and father invited the Samoydan people to live here together with us and benefit from our magnanimity." "That's a lie," thought Joliad to himself. "Why are you telling such crap? They are not invited, but rather locked up." But unfortunately, a few years ago, an Aramaran was murdered there by a wolf. You know the story. Some foxes nodded silently and Kako couldn't believe it. He had never heard that there had ever been a death in the recent past. Who had told the foxes this story? Was it even true? All this could not be true. He would not have expected Carteron to lie so easily. The male had serious doubts. "As a result, my father ordered all Samoydans to leave Aramaria again. However, as a sign of goodwill, I decided in his succession to give space to the Samoydans, because a few thousand of them simply refused to leave this land. So, I allowed them to stay in Chutpri, and only there. That worked quite well until they held an illegal referendum about 5 days ago to take over the entire Jukanat. They want to claim it for themselves. But since I never authorized this course of action, I immediately ordered the establishment of a restricted zone around Chutpri." Radovan paused and Joliad clenched his fists. What the heck kind of an ass was he, telling such lies? "Then I thought," the leader continued, "who all could have been involved in this illegal vote. It could not have been only wolves, because the uproar was too great for that. Let me tell you that I will find all those who tried to weaken our state and our people. I will never tolerate any deviation at the expense of Aramaria. As of today, a decree is issued to bring all resistors from Ara and the wolfish ranks to Gladago and imprison them in labor camps. Arrangements for this have already been made. We must be ready to protect the strong and good from enemies and no longer accept enemies of the state living at the expense of society." The silence that now reigned seemed threatening. Had the ruler just threatened persecution, even of Aramarans? He could not be serious. He further spoke, "All Aramarans have already left the Jukanat after the referendum and the establishment of the restricted zone. This was also a security-oriented order for me personally." "Safety-oriented? Who is not safe there? Are you taking us for fools?" Joliad wondered. "However, for the time being, every member of our people retains the right to visit any friends and acquaintances there. At their own risk. After all, it is and remains our soil, our land. Of course, we won't let anyone tell us where to go and which places to avoid." The statement about the right to visit. Was it addressed to Kakodaz? He was not sure. But since Carteron was also staring a lot, he felt that this information was specifically for him. Now a few days ago a momentous event took place. Samoydan terrorists invaded the border post near the town of Seligico. About 200 of our border guards were killed, as many injured. The terrorist group was equipped with heavy weapons, which they could obtain only through connections with their own people across the sea. While the leader was saying this sentence, Joliad again strongly suspected that he was lying. The young male was frightened, how could the Samoydans get hold of heavy weapons? They lived very rural, almost poorly, and would rather have had pitchforks and hammers at hand. Heavy weapons, that was ridiculous. 200 dead? What bullshit? He thought and knew he had to restrain himself, even if it was hard. Too quickly he would be seen as an enemy of the state or a conspiracy theorist. Maybe even as a collaborator, since he openly admitted to have a good friend there and that he appreciates the Samoydans. If he had said out loud what he was thinking now, it would have ended badly. I assume, then, that the Samoydans have thus declared war on our empire, Carteron continued. Therefore, I have decided to impose martial law on the entire Jukanat Chutpri. Now the whole audience was startled. Kakodaz looked around and could see several of them clinging to each other and others even had tears in their eyes. There had not been such an order, martial law, for a very long time. It meant complete isolation of a part of the empire, which in the dark past was always followed by attempts to carry out ethnic cleansing. Jolyad was stunned that Carteron spread many obvious lies and acted so draconian. Martial law applies only to Chutpri for the time being. This means that I will use military forces to keep order on behalf of our people. The offensive will start shortly. My children, do not worry. As the gods will it, we will avenge the death of our brave fellow foxes and soon we will be able to live again in peace and without the terrorist threat of the Samoydans. If they don't go home voluntarily, we'll kick their asses. There is nothing more to say about this. Thank you for your attention. For Aramaria. Then the leader stepped back from the lectern and the picture went black again. Lights on. Commanded Rado, and the light blinded the students. So, the teacher said aloud, now we know the situation. I want you, same as the big boss, to not be afraid. Go to sleep and rest. We'll retire for consultation. Tomorrow, it's back to class. We will talk about it then in the respective classes. In addition, I would like to point out on behalf of the school administration that no one is allowed outside the school building tonight. The entire teaching staff will be here on site. So there is no need to worry. Good night. Then Pertoriza left the room with the other teachers and immediately the students began to discuss with each other, completely shocked and stunned, as one by one they also went outside. Kakodaz still remained sitting on his chair, thinking in shock, what had Carteron just said? Martial law? In all of Chutpri? Why was he doing this, and what effect would it have on Aramarans and Samoydans? Oh no! The male yelled out loud and immediately had to think about Amarok and his family, did they know about it? Would they be told anything at all? He quickly ran to the teacher's room in the hallway, knocked hastily on the door and entered the room without waiting for an answer first. Rado? I have to go. Amarok. My friend. I have to help him. He stuttered, completely out of breath. Calm down, Jolyad. Said Rado as the other teachers just looked surprised. The door is already locked. It's late. Go to your room, he continued, and we'll talk about everything tomorrow. No. You don't understand. I have to go to him now, please. Yelled Kako desperately. Please don't worry. We will, his teacher began. But the young fox understood that they would not let him go and yelled, I must. Please. Let me go. Open the damn front door. Then Pertoriza looked at the group of teachers and nodded to two of them. They then approached the young male and tried to hold him down, whereupon he fiercely resisted with his hands and paws. Again and again he shouted, no, let me go. Leave me alone. I have to get away from here. He was completely out of control and screaming as loud as he could. Rado hurriedly retrieved a syringe with a clear liquid in it from a large metal cabinet and said to the others, pull his sleeve up. Faster. The teachers followed while this one kept kicking, punching and screaming. What's wrong with him? One of them asked. He has a friend in Seligico, Rado opened, and an affected oh, shame. Escaped from a colleague. We can't let him start a panic here. Close the door. We'll shut him up. A lecturer ran to the door and locked it as Rado bent over his student, applied the syringe to his forearm, and administered its contents. Rado? Why? Exclaimed Kakodaz in despair. All is well. Calm down, Jolyad, he said as the student's resistance grew weaker and weaker. Everything blurred before Kako's eyes and he suddenly felt infinitely tired and limp. He had a numbness everywhere and the voices of the other foxes sounded distorted, could only be understood fragmentarily. Do you have the right dose? No matter. If one goes crazy, all the others will soon do the same. Do you want to panic? No? Me neither. What do we do with him now? Put him on a couch here. Rado, you stay with him overnight. If he dies, come up with something. Joliad's muscles now went completely limp and he was carried by two teachers because he could no longer stand. His head hung down and saliva dripped from his open muzzle. He could take no more, closed his eyes and everything around him disappeared. The last thought that crossed his mind was the voice of the mother wolf, Arya, who said, "The only truth of this world is in its silence." Hello, Joliad. Kakodaz opened his eyes and was surrounded by inky darkness. He seemed to be standing in a vacuum, but felt no ground under his paws. It felt like the dream he had some time ago. "Where am I?" he asked. An anthro being appeared in front of him, which to all appearances was not a fox, but some kind of dog. The student remembered that he had already seen it in his dream at that time. "Who or what are you?" he asked, distraught. "I am Chenragejes. And as you can easily tell, I'm a sheepdog, a canid," Joliad's counterpart smiled and bowed briefly. "A sheepdog?" asked the fox incomprehensibly. "Oh," the latter began, "you can do little with that, of course. Forgive me. I am an Alsatian, a sheepdog. Canis Alsatiani, as they say on this planet." Kakodaz eyed his counterpart. Gejaz was an anthro about his height with short, medium brown fur. He was dressed in black pants, which had numerous wide leather straps on their legs, each holding some sort of knife. He wore a dagger belt from which blades of varying lengths protruded. The dog was very handsome and his body was proportional and slender. His upper body wore black armor, which was decorated with numerous metal wolf heads, but the fox was not quite sure why he needed them. "Now I understand. And you're really Chenragejes, the author of Time Fox? The one who donated the fox statue to Bolmer?" asked Joliad. "That's who I am. Do you also know what happened to you?" "No," mused the fox, "I can only remember going to the teacher's room. I wanted to go back to Amarok, my friend, to save him. I'm afraid that's all I remember. Where am I?" "Rado and the other teachers injected you with a drug to keep you quiet. They overdid it a bit, unfortunately, which I'm quite happy about, though, because at least we can have a little conversation that way," said the dog, whose deep, masculine voice sounded even more forceful than Carteron's. "So according to this, you are just a product of my imagination?" the youth asked, now thinking that this encounter with the dog must also be just a dream. "Well, I'm a part of your subconscious. Let's say it's the other way around, you're part of my imagination. And now that you're sound asleep, I thought I'd pay you a visit. Where you are is the everywhere and nowhere, an in-between world," Chenra smiled. "I just had a dream about you recently. So was that also just a visit?" "No, you must have actually had a simple dream. I hope it was something nice and I didn't do anything stupid during it." "Not that," the younger one explained, "but you were talking crazy. It's not worth talking about, though. And when will I wake up again this time? It's a dream again this time, isn't it? But, do you want to get rid of me already, Fox?" "No, I didn't mean it that way. Of course I don't want to get rid of you. I feel confused and don't really know what's real now," Joliad apologized. "This isn't really a dream. However, it is difficult to explain how the whole thing works here. You wouldn't believe me. So let's not go there," the dog explained. "I am the Ispaseka, the beginning of everything, and, of course, eventually the end. I'm sure the Ispaseka is known to you as the point of origin where Aram and Arya lived. And I am just the origin of everything that is, that was, that will be. What does that mean? And what do you mean I'm part of your fantasy?" asked Joliad. "Listen, I don't have time for riddles. I have to help Amarok." "Take it easy, kid," Gejaz reassured him, "everything in its own time. You, Carteron, Rado and the other Aramarans are all part of my imagination. I myself, like you right now, am in a coma. We'll both wake up, but unlike you, I probably won't just walk around afterwards and everything will be fine. Does that mean you're going to die and now you're still trying to communicate quickly? The fox wanted to know. That's right, KJ's confirmed. And right now is one of the very rare moments when I can speak to you. Otherwise, I'm afraid it's always too noisy in both our worlds. You are so incredibly important to me, you know. What are these enigmatic statements about? What do you mean important? Why didn't Aria tell me about you in our conversation? Asked Kako Daz crossly. She actually knows everything. Because Aria, just like Aram, is also just a part of my imagination. She can't know me at all because I tell her what she can know, who she should be, and what she has to do. I direct her. Do you understand? What nonsense. Leave me alone. You seem like a poor lunatic. Must be the drugs I'm imagining. My mind is playing tricks on me. Get lost and let me wake up so I can go to Amarok. Ruled Kako Daz. Well, the dog said, you'll find when you wake up that you've been asleep for almost a whole month. The dose Rado gave you was way too high. He didn't mean to, but he almost killed you with it. It's going to take you a very long time to wake up. I'm sorry. What, so I'm going to be late to help Amarok? No, I don't believe you. Exclaimed Juliad in despair. This could not happen, after all, a war between the two nations was imminent. How could life have treated him so badly? It was unfair and harsh. What should happen now? Nothing will happen to your friend. I promise you that. Granted, he may be a little upset that you couldn't come right away, but he'll understand. He'll be much happier that you found him. And then he will no longer be just a lover or friend to you, but even a companion, Chenra prophesied, looking very confident. Suddenly, a sharp pain shot through Joliad's body. He bent over and grabbed his chest. Ouch! Damn, what's happening? He asked tensely, gritting his teeth. Again, pain shocked him. Everything shook and his vision clouded. He fell to his knees and clenched his eyelids for a moment. It felt as if someone was piercing his chest. They just revived you. It's nothing special, the dog appeased. Nothing special? Do you know how much that hurts? I can only remotely imagine. But congratulations, you're still alive, the dog spoke, unimpressed. Kako slowly straightened up again and took the opportunity to look at his counterpart from the shoes up, realizing that what he was wearing must be some kind of black armor. In addition, he had a wide, black collar around, on which silver dog head shone. What is that you're wearing around your neck? The fox asked. You mean the collar? Well, that's the symbol of freedom and uniqueness. People use these things to subjugate their pet dogs, but I associate it with exactly the opposite things. It also stands for chaos, which exists in the spirit of order. It shows my aspirations, ideas and dreams, Gejays explained. Are you a soldier or something? You look like you fight a lot, Kako Daz continued to pester. The dog just grinned and said, you can call it that, of course. During my coma, I have all the freedom I need to look like my perceived ideal. I can be whoever I want to be. And as I stand before you now, I feel ideal right now. Are you saying you actually look very different? Oh yeah. Actually, I'm not even a sheepdog, you know? What's with this stupid riddle again? The fox asked, annoyed. He only got one offer in reply. If you like, we can go to my bedside on Gaja. After all, we still have some time. All right. I mean, it can't hurt. Maybe then some light will come into the darkness, Kako agreed, although he still secretly believed that this strange dog could not be in his right mind. Very good decision and a fitting metaphor, Gejays praised. Could be mine, but it is anyway. Joliad blinked and suddenly found himself in a hospital room. Heart rhythm sounds could be heard and a respirator was continuously inflating its balloon. Everything was very bright, white and sterile, a very cold, unnatural place that made one feel rather uncomfortable. Wide-eyed, the male fox caught sight of a bed on which lay a human being hanging from numerous tubes. What had happened to him? Who was he? The mysterious shepherd stood next to the male and looked sadly toward the bed as he said, go to him, Joliad. Kako Daz nodded, walked slowly to the bed with a serious expression on his face, and looked at the human who looked like he was sleeping peacefully. I've never seen a human before. I mean, not in real life. There are only stories about them, he said softly, tentatively tapping the cheek of the sleeping person with his index finger, but he didn't move. Humans are not particularly beautiful, I think. Not like Anthros. Unfortunately, what you see there is my human form, the dog explained. Unfortunately? I never liked them. If you ask me, I could be in a coma forever. Then I could always be this sexy dog, Chenra spoke and laughed. Kakodaz thought for a moment and carefully stroked the young man's blonde hair. So this is you? Not a dog, but a human? Yes. And you're in a coma and you're going to die soon? Why? What happened to you? Asked Joliad sadly. Tell me if you have any hatred for humans right now, Joliad, the shepherd commanded. No. Oddly enough, I feel only pity and a kind of pain right now. I was taught in childhood to fear and despise man, but I see no reason to think as I am told, confessed the fox, which visibly pleased Chenra. That's beautiful, he said. My human shell is dying because I worked toward it. I wanted it that way. I was always using my body, exploiting it. Admittedly, I would have liked a quicker death. But why? Is it possible to want to die? And why are you buzzing around here now in my mind as a sheepdog soldier? Interrupted Kako. Why I'm dying, I can't tell you yet. You have to learn to see more first. Then a thought popped into the fox's head. Aria and Carteron had also said to him, it's nice that you can see now. But what did that actually mean? Why do I appear as a hybrid being? That is again quite simple, I have chosen a form, which pleases me better, than my innate one. Besides, this appearance is certainly more pleasant for you, Gajaz continued, because you can process and empathize with it better. The best solution for both of us. After a brief, thoughtful pause, he then said, come with me, Joliad. I'll show you something else. Kakodaz turned around and suddenly found himself, together with Chenra, in a small room. A young man with glasses and short blonde hair was sitting at a desk with a screen on it. The person was typing away on a keyboard, pausing again and again to reread what he was typing. A cigarette was smoking in an ashtray and a half-full cup of coffee was sitting on the desk. He can't see or hear us, the older male commented. Isn't that the guy from the hospital? I mean, is that you in human form? Kako wanted to know and Gajaz nodded silently. At this point in time, where we are now, I'm 32 years old and, as you can see, completely immersed in what I'm doing. And what are you doing? I'm writing a book, a story, your story, everybody's story, Joliad. Kakodaz was irritated and looked serious and interested as he asked, and where are we? At my home. On Gaja, the earth of the people. The text on the screen is written in German. This language, by the way, is derived from Latin. And you were allowed to learn Latin in your basic training. You were pretty good at it. I was, but I guess we'll see later if it's of any use to me in my life, Kako spoke, leaning over the shoulder of the human, who indeed had to be Chenra Gajaz, as he wore the same collar as his companion. The fox was startled to realize that the last paragraph included what had just happened. Kakodaz turned around and suddenly found himself, together with Chenra, in a small room. A young man with glasses and short blonde hair was sitting at a desk with a screen on it. The person was typing away on a keyboard, pausing again and again to reread what he was typing. A cigarette was smoking in an ashtray and a half-full cup of coffee was sitting on the desk. He can't see or hear us, the older male commented. Isn't that the guy from the hospital? I mean, is that you in human form? Kako wanted to know and Gajaz nodded silently. At this point in time, where we are now, I'm 32 years old and, as you can see, completely immersed in what I'm doing. And what are you doing? Quickly, the fox recoiled and exclaimed, what kind of magic is this again? Are you kidding me, Chenra? This can't be happening. He couldn't believe it right now, everything that had just happened was right there, as if it was a prophecy that was automatically fulfilled. Everything that happened had already been thought up and typed out by this person. I'm telling you, he is, or rather I am, the creator of your story. And it just so happens that we are watching these lines come into being that are happening to us at this moment. Joliad stood next to the seated man and read along again. Everything he and Chenra had just said was suddenly on his screen. This can't be happening. The fox's breath caught as he looked in shock at his canine companion. The latter, however, just grinned and said, "But that's how it is." The male fox looked around the small room. A bed and a wall unit stood there, and a few printed pictures hung above the man's sleeping area, as he typed unperturbably, looking up at the screen every now and then or taking a puff of his cigarette. The fox looked at the drawings, which all showed dog-like anthros doing very intimate things with each other and engaging in strange kinds of play. "He's a funny one," Kako flattened. "What do you think I'm like when I can describe in hairy detail how you have sex with Eurimia and Amarok?" the sheepdog teased, grinning smugly. "Oh, my goodness," escaped the fox. "So you mean, you know about this?" he asked, opening his muzzle. "Oh yes, and writing all those things was very exciting for me, you must know," smiled his companion. "However, I later decided to remove the passages so that the book wouldn't come across as too sex-oriented. This here is the past, not the present. In addition, we are on Gaja. So, you see that different times can happen in different places at the same time. You're amazed, aren't you, oh man? You write about same-sex sex between different kind of beings. Males. You are sick. Somehow I don't understand anything anymore," Kako sighed and looked through the glazed door of the closet wall. He discovered a polished, brown-patterned soapstone with an Aramaran symbol on it. Around it he could make out Aramaran letters forming the words Ispaseka Aramaria. "The point of origin of Aramaria?" wondered Joliad, looking questioningly at his companion. He then caught sight of a hunting knife with a wolf's head etched on it. "Look what's on the center of the cabinet, Joliad," Chenra said with his arms crossed, pointing his gaze at two figures, a sitting fox that was gold in color and a silver she-wolf standing on four paws. "Aram and Aria," both males said at the same time. As Kakodaz walked to a small shelf hanging on the wall almost immediately next to the human, he touched the young man with his thigh. The latter, however, didn't seem to notice and continued typing. "Kind of creepy," Joliad commented, reading aloud the titles of some of the books that were on the shelf: The German Shepherd, The Misunderstood Dog, Nature Guide Dogs. "What is all this stuff?" "That was my hobby reading at the time. I had a dog of my own, after all. I mean, an earth dog," Gajays replied. "Let me guess, a German Shepherd?" "Clever fox, you are right," Chenra praised, and again the scales fell from Joliad's eyes as he remembered that Eurimia had told him the other day that Carteron owned sheepdogs and huskies. What did this strange similarity mean? "Did you see the picture next to the shelf?" asked Gajays, and the student spotted a framed portrait showing a fox anthro. "Who is that? I thought there were no anthros on Gaja?" he wanted to know. "This is Fox McLeod. He was my absolute favorite fox at the time, my idol," the dog explained. "Isn't that the figure from the fountain in the park in Bolmer?" marveled Kako. "Yes. And who is he?" "I don't know him. He is a video game character and the very reason I wrote the story Vulpes Lupus Canis in the first place. I did it out of love for him." "What is a video game?" asked Joliad. "It would take too long to explain everything to you in detail now," Gajay said. "All you need to know is that what I told you is true. What you see here was almost 3 years ago. I wrote the book when I was 32, and then died and shed my human shell when I was 35. Images flashed through the fox's mind, showing him the many connections between Chenra Gajay's and him and his world, Aram and Aria, the origin of Aramaria, Fox McLeod as a statue donated by Chenra, at the same time his favorite fox. But," the younger man mused, "you mean me and all the other Aramarans, Amarok and his family. We're all just a figment of your imagination and not real? We don't exist at all?" "Yes, you do. Although the existence of life can't really be proven in principle, after all," Chenra reassured him, tapping the scribe's head with one finger. "You're all there, here in his head." Suddenly, the human man was startled, stopped typing, and looked Chenra right in his amber, startled eyes. He froze for a few seconds, and Joliad was also stunned. The scribe quickly averted his eyes and smiled slightly as he resumed typing. "I thought you said he couldn't see us," scolded Kako. He can't do that either. We have to go now. It's better this way, his companion stammered, and everything around the two of them went jet black again. What was that just now, Chenra? Did the human see you or not? Kaka wanted to know. That's really a good question. In principle, I would have looked myself in the eye. Listen, you're about to wake up. That's why I'm leaving you again for now. But I thought I was in a coma for a month? We were only gone for a short time. Time is not a measurable object, Fox. It flows constantly. How fast do you think it can pass, little one? Its progress is subjective, the shepherd explained. My mind is a mess right now, Joliot admitted. Why did you show me all this? What am I going to do with this information? Damn. Consider what you saw as a parallel world to yours. Both are true and also false at the same time. They exist, but there is no proof for either one. The chaos you feel now is the same as in my mind back when I wrote my book. That is why I started it, to put my mind in order. It is also the same disorder and confusion that you will find in your country when you wake up right away. But don't worry, order can be restored. And now, can you help me see Amarok again? I mean, you've shown me all kinds of things now, in different places and apparently at different times. That shouldn't be too difficult for you then, should it? Unfortunately, I can't. Since I am now in a coma as a human being, I can no longer change my book, the dog said. All right, so if everything is already set, as you say, then what happens in the future? Asked Kakodaz curiously. I won't be able to tell you that, because it would affect my story. That would be paradoxical. I'm sorry, but then everything would go haywire here, because my work would go its own way, unwanted by me. Your task will be to make a contribution, to lead this world again to order. Out of the chaos and turmoil of this time, Gajaz admonished. Well, as always, I'm going to do it alone, Joliad sighed sullenly. Will I see you again? He then asked as the shepherd's appearance seemed to slowly grow paler and paler. I think so. When time permits, we'll know. The world is not unlimited, after all. Don't worry, we'll find each other. And what if, Joliad still asked, but then his comatose state ended. He slowly opened his eyes, looked at a white ceiling and quickly realized that he was in a hospital. Quickly, a fox head bent over him and smiled happily, he's awake. Shania? Asked Joliad in a low voice. Yes, my boy. Father and I are here. Everything will be all right again. His mother rejoiced and grabbed his arm with a smile. What happened? Asked Kako hoarsely. When the announcement came that there might be war with the Samos, you collapsed. You were given a tranquilizer, which you did not tolerate. Joliad widened his eyes, gathered his courage and promptly shouted at his mother, that's not true. Rado gave me a drug to sedate me, but the dose was way too high. However, he didn't care at that moment. And no, my boy. It wasn't like that, she stammered. Don't lie to me, mother. They almost killed me. They wouldn't have cared, and I'm sure they would have just made me disappear if I had died, the male ruled, while the vixen winced and his father got up from a chair and went to him. Joliad, whatever happened, it's over. You don't need to go to school there anymore, he tried to soothe. You're coming home to us again. That's good, isn't it? Everything will be like before, his mother added. The vixen and her husband looked puzzled when Joliad said he didn't want to go home at all, but to his boyfriend Amarok. Yes, you're surprised, aren't you? He and I belong together. The couple looked at each other and his father explained, you can't go to Seligico for almost a month. It is a restricted area. You were in a coma for a very long time. Besides, we forbade you to meet him. I don't care, though. I want to be with him and I will find him. Son, you're not gay, his mother then said, you're just trying to discover yourself. That's normal and it will pass. No. Shouted Joliad. Get out of here. You let them almost kill me. Don't take that tone, my boy. His father now ruled. You're going back with us later. Enough. You have always forbidden me to go to Amarok. But I won't be forbidden anything anymore. And I'll tell you something else, I really love him and don't give a shit about what everyone else expects of me. I also don't give a shit what you think about it and whether it's ungentlemanly to be gay, and then with a wolf. I'll bring him to me, to Aramaria. Even if I have to kick the leader's ass myself. Now Kako's parents had enough of his senseless shouting. He was very cheeky and should finally receive a lesson in respect. That's enough. You're not a faggot? Get a hold of yourself, or else. The older male roared and raised his hand to strike, when suddenly the door opened. Stop! Someone shouted. Oh, my lord. You are here. Please forgive us. We didn't know, stammered Kako's father, and at the same time he and his wife dropped to their knees. Joliad's parents lowered their heads in awe as Carteron entered the room holding a large bouquet of flowers. Fuck off and leave him alone. I have to talk to your son, Radovan ordered. Reverent and submissive, Kakodaz's parents stood up and quickly left the room in a stooped posture. They looked like two kicked pajakas, which elicited a smug grin from Joliad. Hello Joliad, the leader greeted kindly and the student only turned his head away crossly. What's wrong? Wanted to know Radovan and put the flowers in a vase standing on the night console. What's wrong? Grumbled Kako. I could ask you that, Radovan. You mean martial law, don't you? Yes. Just that, Joliad spoke, turning his head back to his visitor. Joliad, please understand that it has to be. Our order is in danger if I allow the Samoydans to claim all of Chutpri or even all of Banatarija. They must go, quite simply, Radovan tried to explain. Kakodaz sighed, sat up and now looked at his counterpart. You must have heard that I and Yuremia. Yes, quite a short relationship. But I honestly wasn't surprised about it, Carteron smiled. Then why are you here? I am no longer part of your family, Joliad wanted to know. Oh yes you are, Radovan replied firmly, you are. Just because you're no longer with Yuremia doesn't mean I value you any less. I also know why you broke up. After all, I can see inside you. I'm holding back, though, one concern. I told you how it is. Embarrassed, the 16-year-old lowered his head. I guess you and that Samoydan are together now. Then you can also imagine that I actually wanted to help him escape from Seligico. Yes, I can imagine it, the leader confirmed and grabbed Joliad's hand, whereupon the latter looked at him sadly. This paternal gesture made the young fox swallow with difficulty and struggle with tears. He could have shouted at him, but he did not. It would have been of no use, because the decisions of the leader were fixed anyway. Joliad was not afraid. He was furious. He was desperate. But he also knew respect. Why did you lie about arming the Samoydans and about many other things in your speech? He wanted to know in a raspy voice. The Samoydans actually have heavy weapons. We ourselves were not prepared for them and were surprised by them. We don't know yet where they came from. Anyway, the equipment is not typical for them. It's already chaos out there, Carteron explained, then told him something about politics and the obligation a lord has to his people. And because of this great policy and any fulfillment of obligations and expectations, my friend is now an outcast? Asked Joliad, eager to hear the answer. He thought to himself that Radovan would surely get angry now. But what had to be said. Aramarans had always been told about sovereignty and that one should stand by one's values and desires. Joliad was now doing just that, he was no longer in the mood to be constantly talked into any obligations and regulations. There were always mysteries, fates and assignments. The leader looked impressed and then smiled. I'll make you a deal, Joliad, since you've recovered, I'll give you a card to get out of here and into the restricted area. I've also had an ID card made, making your Amarok officially a naturalized Aramaran. Since I don't know where your darling is right now, though, you'll have to take care of finding him yourself. This is fantastic. Rejoiced Kako and his face brightened again. Tears of joy were visible in his eyes and his heart beat unstoppably and strongly like a pump. But, Radovan qualified, you only get him. He is an absolute exception. Not that you invite his whole family. My opinion of them hasn't changed, yet I want to help you. If someone asks if you have a pass card, slide it in the reader and all is well. but I don't want to be associated with allowing a Samoyedan to immigrate. So you shouldn't tell anyone about that either. I see, Kako grinned, but his counterpart only looked at him seriously. This is important. He said sternly, if anyone finds out about this, you'd better hide well from my wrath. Then even your naturalization card will be worthless. If you keep to this agreement and you really do make it back here, then your lover shall also be free. But remember that it will be very dangerous. Nobody will help you. I can give you a tip to enlist in the military service. At least you will have protective clothing. After all, you don't have to take part in combat. Why are you doing this for me and Amarok, Radovan? The young fox wanted to know. As I said before, the guide explained, I know who you might be someday. And I also know what it's like to lose someone you love. Now Radovan looked very thoughtfully, almost sadly, into the eyes of Joliad, who only looked back in wonder and asked if Radovan once had a boyfriend. Yes, but that was a long time ago. My birthing duties didn't allow for a relationship with a male. Who was he, if you don't mind me asking? Your teacher Rado Pertoriza, Open Carteron. What? Exclaimed Kako in shock. You were with him? I never thought that he... Joliad could not believe what he had just heard, his teacher and Radovan. But Mr. Pertoriza had a wife and puppies, as he himself said. Yes, we tried it secretly, but I never stood by it. I loved him very much, but it was more important to me at that time that I could go my way as a leader. I was afraid and couldn't get involved. I sometimes regret that, but under my predecessor, my father, this sexuality was still punishable, Radovan explained. So those were very hard times. What would have happened if you had been caught with him? Castration, the elder sighed. Oh man. Then your own father would have had your balls cut off? Kako shook his head. Yes, and only since I became his successor, has this love been freely experienced. I decreed this way so that no one would ever again have to suffer castration because of their preferences. After all, one does not choose one's sexuality. Of course, Rado still hates me today for not standing by him. Later, however, he chose the opposite sex, Joliad was told. Now I understand why he speaks quite disparagingly about you. I was wondering all along, but now it rings a bell. Well, sighed the leader, I just decided to live lonely but powerful. A mistake, I know that today. But I still have my faithful dogs. They love me and I can't disappoint or hurt them. Besides, they don't judge and have no expectations. A pause arose, after which Joliad remarked, Yes, but by renouncing your love for Rado, you have made it possible for others to love whom they wish. And that includes me and Amarok. I think Rado could at least be more grateful for the time you spent together. You had good reasons for refusing. After all, you wanted to keep your manhood. It's hard to live without balls. I guess that's true, Joliad, Radovan grinned, but I will still be looking for Rado. After all, he almost killed my young friend. Friend? Had he really said that? Joliad felt a warm sense of respect and appreciation from his leader and smiled. Thank you for allowing me to be your friend, Radovan. It is my honor, he said. The latter smiled gently, I have to thank you, Joliad Kakodaz. And don't bother with the polite addressing. Only subordinates speak to me like that. All right, then, thank you. Thank you also for helping me, Kako then spoke. The guide nodded kindly, keep to our agreement and no one will stand in the way of your love. Take good care of yourself while you're out there. Then he stood up as his young friend happily agreed. Radovan said, I'll send your parents back home and tell them to leave you in peace. They will wait there until you want to go back to them. If you don't want that at all, they'll just have to live with it. What have I done to deserve your friendship? Joliad wanted to know when Radovan handed him the ID card and the pass. His chaps trembled and a few tears of joy flowed down his fox muzzle. Inwardly, he was already looking forward to seeing his beloved Amarok again soon. Joliad, it won't be easy in Seligico, Radovan warned, because there is chaos at the moment. Our people and a small, surprisingly resilient group of Samoydans are fighting bitterly over Chutpri. The wolves seem to be getting supplies across the sea. I hope your Amarok didn't have to take part in the war, that he's still alive, and that you find him in time. Then just end the war, Kako suggested, by telling them they can keep the Jukanat. That wouldn't be so bad, would it? Radovan shook his head. Joliad, you are still too young to understand. Someday you will realize what sovereignty means. Until then, rest. I'll talk to the doctor and have the hospital clear your chart so you can get the hell out of here. You should be able to go around lunchtime. I hope you find your gay wolf. I hope so, too. Because Amarok is not only gay, but also cute, grinned Joliad. Well, whether he's cute or not, I can't judge. I hope he's cute enough and worth taking on the dangers of war for, my friend. Oh yes. The younger one replied confidently. Then I think you will find him, Carteron was sure, and come back safely. I have faith in you, but you should also promise me. Yes, I promise. I'll be back, and I'll be back with him. We'll get back to you then. That's a point of honor. Your Amarok too is fine with me. I'm looking forward to getting to know him. If you like him, I'll be able to handle him. Thank you, Radovan, Kakodaz said happily. The leader nodded and said, You're welcome. I'll see you around. Take care. He was about to leave the room when Kako asked him, What does your name mean? I mean, Rado means sun, but Radovan? That means sunbeam. Suits me too, because I have such a sunny disposition and am always beaming. Well then, see you soon, the older man replied and left the room. The young male found it very difficult to fall asleep again. After all, a lot had happened and the last few days had been very confusing. Above all, he was interested in the answer to the question of who this mysterious shepherd dog with amber eyes was. Where did he come from so suddenly? What was he doing here? Was what he was saying even true? Was he human or not?